Welcome to Hype episode 130. Feels like a milestone, kind of is a milestone. I don't know. Let's just say it's a milestone. My name is Selena and I'm joined this week by Pam. Hi, Pam.
Hello.
Welcome to our milestone.
thanks for having me, like every week.
Yeah. It's always exciting. We are back this week with a regular news show where we're going to tackle the latest, the week in entertainment news. We're going to tell you what we've been up to in fandom, what TV shows we're watching. We're going to check in with the listeners to see what's catching their attention in fandom. And we're going to give you some updates on all of our specials and everything that's happening around Hype. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a good time. Lots of news to get through this week. So I say that we just get started. But as always, before we start our show, we want to remind you of the contact information. If you want to weigh in on any of the stories we talk about this week, if there's anything you feel is not getting enough attention on Hype that you want us to talk about more, if you have any specials to recommend or any feedback on the ongoing specials, you can email us, hype@hypeable.com. You can find us on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. You can find us on Twitter @hypeablehype, on Instagram @hypeablehype, and on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. Actually, I think our Tumblr recently got a little bit of a tidy up, so now you can also go there for all of our specials and stuff. Right?
Yeah, it did. Merma was hard at work revamping the whole layout. And now when you visit and you hit on, you know, the little specials tab, you'll be able to search by based on like, you know, TV show, movie, other celebrity guests. And she also, I don't know if she did this for everything, but I know specifically with our special guest interviews, she also put little pictures to entice you to listen. In case you've never seen, you know, some of these people that have so graciously come on and joined us for a fun little, you know, coffee chat type chit chat. So conversations, that's what I was looking for. Conversation, yeah. Man, you know, we're really starting to feel our age at 130. We are very old now.
Yeah, we're like Dumbledore age.
We are Dumbledore age. We're old and wise.
Yes, yes. Very, very, very wise. That's exactly the word I would use to describe us. But anyway, it's a good... So please do check out our Tumblr at hypepodcast.tumblr.com to just take a look back and see what kind of guests we've had on in the past. Because if you haven't been with us for very long, some of our special interviews might surprise you because we've had a wide variety of interesting people on there. So we look forward to hearing if you discover anything fun. All right, so moving into how we hype, which is where we tell you what we've been doing in fandom this past week. Pam, why don't you update us?
Sure. I think I want to start off with the Golden Globes. They were this last Sunday, and I ended up having to watch all of it for work. I felt a little unenthused overall by the show. I felt like it dragged a little bit. Sometimes I feel like the Golden Globes are a little more fun than something like the Oscars, where you can definitely feel the length of the show. Mm-hmm. But that being said, there were a bunch of bright spots amidst some of the stuff that I found a little boring, including Meryl Streep's speech, which is definitely going to go down in history as one of the most iconic. She just made her point so eloquently, and it was so beautiful and moving and touching. And if you want to check that out, we wrote up a little something over on hypeable.com about it, and you can watch the speech in full. But I also want to give an honorable mention to Donald Glover. I was so happy that the Hollywood Foreign Press recognized Atlanta a couple times throughout the night, but I specifically loved his acceptance speech the second time when he won on his own. And he made this beautiful analogy about how he grew up in a house where, like, you know, magic, like he realized very early on the magic came from people. And it's just really great. So if you haven't seen that yet, I would highly recommend Googling it. And along that same vein, it's exciting to hear that FX is going to be continuing to work with him. They're working on a season 2 Atlanta. They're getting him the time he needs to go off and do Han Solo. And then he's going to come back and create more content. So it's really exciting if you're a fan of his. And if you haven't checked out that show, I would highly recommend watching it because it's one of my favorites of the past year, for sure. Mm-hmm. Did you watch any of the highlights or did you watch the whole show?
No, I watched a couple of the acceptance speeches, and of course I watched the Meryl Streep speech like 500 times, just because it was such a big moment in pop culture and other culture of the week, and I thought it was very important. I liked what she had to say. We don't need to go too much into it, but I think it's, I mean, there's a lot of, people are always so busy trying to police who can and cannot have an opinion. And I just kind of like that she brought it back and was like, well, you know, because I feel like the movie industry, people often forget actors for a second. The movie industry employs such a huge variety of people. Basically, it's like bottom up from carpenters and caterers and like whatever the hell, and costume designers and set designers and craftsmen and every single like industry that you can speak of has some kind of role to play. And I feel like people forget that sometimes. I feel like people have a very sort of, oh, you make movies, you can't have an opinion, you should just like jump on your horse and entertain us or whatever. And I think that's sort of a really destructive way of thinking about anything. And I like that she kind of did a lot to try to remind people that that's not the reality.
That's such a good point. I mean, because of my job, I've been lucky enough to be on a wide variety of some of the most iconic backlots in the Los Angeles area. But aside from that, my best friend's dad is, he's head of lighting at CBS, and he has been working in the industry for years and years and years, moved up from, you know, where he started at the bottom. And the thing I've learned about just being around those places with him and meeting the people that he works with is that a lot of these people that you don't see in front of the cameras, they're middle-class Americans, they're blue-collar workers, they're tradesmen, and it is very important to mm-hmm. remember that it does take a village to create, you know, the tiny bit of magic to pull from Donald Glover's acceptance speech that we do see on TV or in movies. So definitely a very good point. But anyway, well, that's my Golden Globes spiel, and I love that you were able to contribute because I felt like it was a ranty. very quickly, without spoiling anybody who hasn't seen it yet, I also wanted to say that I saw Hidden Figures finally, and it was so good. I loved it so much, and I can't even put into words. It's just, it's the best movie, and Taraji P. Henson moved me to tears with her entire, like, there was a specific point in her performance that I was just, it made my heart feel so heavy. And she's, if she doesn't get an Oscar nomination for that, I just don't even know what we're doing here, because she really, everybody is so great in the cast, but she definitely deserves some kind of recognition for her role. And if you have seen it, then you will know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, just keep that in mind when you head out to the theater, but highly recommend, 2 thumbs up. There is definitely a reason why this is Marima's favorite movie that she's never seen. So.
Yes. Oh, Taraji P. Henson. I mean, her role obviously in this movie is just mind-blowingly amazing. She is such a fantastic performer, and her role was just so amazing. I also just love, I mean, Octavia Spencer, obviously, but I also just love Janelle Monáe. Is that how you say her name?
Like, it is.
Spectacularly good. I often like, I look at pictures of her and I'm like, if there was like an actual royalty way of looking, it would be her. Like, she looks like royalty every time I see her. I'm like, okay, that's the queen of the world. There she is. There's just something about her that is so like majestic. But her role, like, speaking of her performance in this movie, she's just amazing and just sparking with life, and just everything about that's this movie true. And these three women, it's just out of this world.
And they're all like completely, this is the thing I didn't know, like, it's like they're completely like they're on different trajectories within this space. And so it is interesting to follow each of their journeys throughout the whole movie.
Yes. Oh, beautiful. Nothing but love for that movie. It's surprising to me that it's not getting any awards, but I guess it just came out too late, right?
Well, Octavia Spencer was nominated at the Golden Globes for Hidden Figures, and I believe,
why is it not nominated for everything? Oh my god, this movie!
Yeah,
so good.
Well, I think it was it wasn't out in time for the Critics' Choice, which is the one that comes first. So I think we'll have to wait and see for the Oscars, SAG and the Oscars. Yeah, and I don't know. I haven't actually looked too far into the BAFTA nominations this year, apart from La La Land, which of course garnered all the headlines for getting 11 nods, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's also nominated there. I just
it's not.
Don't know. Oh, it's not. Oh, that's too bad. Not even for the music. The music was also, I mean, like, Pharrell did an amazing job with the music. It's so good.
Yeah, I'd actually have to double check about the music, but I did write up the BAFTA thing for Hyperbole, and I specifically remember that it wasn't nominated because I thought, that's why I thought it was just out too early, because I was like, it makes no sense that it's like getting snubbed at all these Oscar, no, or at these awards ceremonies, so, but apparently not, so that sucks. Still a good movie, though, no matter what awards it does or does not get. All right, so, and I guess my Howie hype, I don't really have a lot, but I do have, I guess, a kind of a teasing Howie hype, and it is that one of the things I watched this week was the final episode of the Gilmore Girls Netflix revival. I am done. It is finished. I have completed my journey. I am back from the wild, and
nice plug there. Nice reference.
I don't want to say anything because you guys will have to listen to the special to hear my thoughts. I wasn't even allowed to tweet very much, although I can really totally restrain myself. But I definitely, oh my God, I cannot wait to talk about it. Our special for summer is already out, and that's on the iTunes feed and on Hyperbole, and you can find it via our Twitter and everything. So do check that out if you haven't listened to it yet. And we expect that our special for fall will be out next week sometime, because we're gonna be spacing it out with 100 season 2, because I hear that some people are very anxiously awaiting being allowed to watch more, so we probably have to prioritize that one first, but we'll let you guys know what happens with that. I just wanted to give you a little teaser that I am officially caught up. I know the final 4 words. And I feel a little bit cheated. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Moving on. We have a lot of news to get through this week. And our first story in the lineup is Beauty and the Beast. And it is a sneak peek that is our first look or sound of Emma Watson singing. She's singing a little clip of Belle, the iconic song. And I talked about this. If you've been listening to Hype for a while, you will know that late last year, I got to see some footage from upcoming movies of 2017, including a clip of Emma Watson singing in Beauty and the Beast. And at the time, I said, I really like the singing, but I'm really not a fan of how auto-tuned it sounds. And this is a different clip, but it's no less auto-tuned, unfortunately. I think it sounds really over the top auto-tune to the point when it's almost like it's not, they haven't even done any attempts to disguise it, and I am very disappointed with that because we know that she can sing, and I was really hoping that they would have tidied it up. I don't know what you think about it, Pam. Maybe I am overreacting a little bit.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned this, and I'm going to preface this by saying I was working on Golden Globe Sunday, so when this clip aired, because it aired on television in the middle of the show, I had that in mind, the comment that you had made about auto-tuning. And I don't know if it was because I was focused on like a million other things and I was just like listening to it like in passing. I was like, oh, it's not as auto-tuned as I thought it was going to be. But then I listened to it back before we started recording just to refresh myself, and you can definitely hear it. The thing about auto-tune is that you know, it rounds off your notes to the nearest whole note.
Yeah, it kind of clips your
voice,
right?
Yeah, it clips it. Yeah, and so it just automatically makes, like, if you're singing a note, it'll just snap it to the nearest whole note, and it helps people that really can't sing. But when somebody can sing, you can tell when they've been auto-tuned, and it would have sounded okay if they didn't add that filter in. Mm-hmm. So it gives the entire vibe of the song this new age feel that takes you out of the experience of what Beauty and the Beast should be. And then if you're somebody like me, you're just angry that Emma Watson wasn't allowed to just sing on her own, because you can also tell that she didn't need the help. Like, that's the, I don't know.
Yeah, see, it makes her voice sound thinner than it really is. And it's very annoying, because you can tell that if they just had the confidence, or if she had the confidence in herself, because when you hear it like this, you always think, well, is it the actor's request? But I will say, because I know some people have said when they saw it on television, they didn't hear the auto-tune, and that's actually some of the commenters on Hyperbole pointed that out. But when I saw it on the big screen, unfortunately, the auto-tune was very apparent, and
it's
you can overlook it. But the thing that I noticed, because I heard some of the other people sing too, and they did not sound auto-tuned. It's just her.
I wonder if she just had a bad day in the... Did you hear another song aside from Belle when you heard the... when you were shown the sneak peek? Or was it just Belle that you heard her singing?
No, I heard Belle. I heard Belle, but I heard some of the other... That was a bigger part of the song. So some of the other voice, like the chorus voices.
Right.
And Gaston. I think I heard a bit of the Gaston song as well, because I definitely heard Josh Gad and Luke Evans sing, and they sounded great.
Did you hear like her sing another song aside from Belle is what I might... Okay. Because I'm wondering if perhaps she... like, of course, we can only speak to this one song. I'm just wondering if maybe they auto-tuned just the one, because, you know, songs are not recorded back to back usually. So it's possible that she's not auto-tuned for the rest of it. But it is concerning that they auto-tuned it so much for this. And you can hear it mostly in the beginning, like the I Want Adventure in the Great White Somewhere. Like, that's where you can like really hear it. And then you hear her normal voice seep through when she says, "I want so much more than they've got planned." That plan, that note that she holds, is like the most true to voice that the whole song, like the whole bit gets.
Yeah.
So I am kind of curious as to the decision, just like you, because when you analyze it that way, it's like, I wonder like how bad it was that they felt the need to do it.
It makes her voice sound like it's shaking when it's not. And it's just, it's everything about it. And I know we're probably, people are listening like, stop talking about it. but I think when you notice it, like you really notice it. And it just, you know, with such a big production and getting Emma Watson in and knowing she has a musical training, it just doesn't make any sense.
It's so,
so we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's, and the thing is too, is like you were saying, it's going to be more apparent. You won't be able to escape it, especially if she's the only one that's being auto-tuned. So it's just it's an unfortunate decision if they chose to go with that throughout. But we'll just have to wait and see. It's also possible that they did it because they haven't finished recording the final soundtrack and they needed to take the first take.
So badly, yeah. Because, like, again, they're showing like a small clip of the same song that I've heard, which means that maybe that's... like, that's what they had to show, and it's still not done. Like, that, I'm really crossing fingers for that.
Well, in other soundtrack news pertaining to Beauty and the Beast, here are two people that you definitely will not have to auto-tune. Disney announced earlier this week that they have tapped Ariana Grande and John Legend to record the iconic single from Beauty and the Beast, which is, of course, titled Beauty and the Beast. So this is going to be a powerhouse vocalist duet, and there's not much else to say about this, but it is really exciting that they were able to get two artists that just have such, like, they have, like, when you hear Ariana Grande or John Legend sing, you know it's them. So I think they picked really well for this, and it's really nice to be ushering in this new generation of Beauty and the Beast with two artists that will be able to hold their own and really make this song their own.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was a little bit surprised. Like, again, with this Beauty and the Beast, like Ariana Grande particularly, but also, I guess, John Legend a little bit less. They are such, like, pop culture icons. Like, they are so ingrained in, like, they are at the very, it's kind of like, you not for the same reasons, but it's kind of like casting, like, someone extremely well-known in a Harry Potter movie, like, Johnny Depp without the terrible baggage, like, but you know that idea of a major star that comes in and kind of takes over a product and kind of makes it their own as opposed to lending their voice to a thing. But saying that is being extremely hypocritical because Celine Dion did the original and she was kind of a big deal too.
Right.
I'm like totally aware that that doesn't make any sense for me to say, but I just, when I first heard it, I was like, oh no, why them? But now I realize obviously it has to be them because they are so fantastic and the song will sound incredible.
Are there two other people that you would have maybe, or maybe even one other person that you would have liked to have seen tackle this?
Beyonce? No, I'm kidding. Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe Beyonce, like Adele? I don't know. Okay. Like, it's... I don't really have anyone in mind. Right. I think that maybe don't ask me. I don't
know. Okay. It is actually kind of funny that they did pick Ariana Grande because she does a mean impersonation of Celine Dion, which of course she's not going to do for the recording, but she's really good at her Celine Dion impersonation. But I think it would have had to have been somebody like her, like a Kelly Clarkson or just somebody that can really hold their own. especially if they're going for the powerful feeling that the original song does have. So, yeah, it should be fun. It's I'm excited to hear their finished product. So moving on, we have a little bit more soundtrack news for you guys before we head into the rest of the show. We also got the official soundtrack listing / artist list for the 50 Shades Darker soundtrack. If you've been listening to this show for a while, you will know that like this is like the most excited I get about any 50 Shades news is like when the soundtrack information comes out, because the thing about 50 Shades and even Twilight is that they like, while they might have had some problems in terms of like storytelling and stuff like that, you can't deny that they just do a really good job of picking people for these soundtracks. They of course have the first single off of this is Taylor Swift and Zayn's I Don't Want to Live Forever, which we've already heard some. Look, we've heard the whole thing, and they're getting ready to release a music video for this track, so that should be fun. Other artists that are on here that you might recognize include Halsey, Tove Lo, John Legend again. He's pulling some double duty here. The Dream, Sia, Kygo, Corinne Bailey Rae. Where has she been? I haven't heard anything from her in a while. So if you want to take a look at the full track list, you can head over to Hypeable to do that. I would say that the one song I'm most interested to hear from here is this upcoming duet by Nick Jonas and Nicki Minaj, and the song is called Bomb Bitty Bomb. So looking forward to hearing what that's like, but overall just definitely excited to get my hands on this. I don't know if you'll be listening, but it should make for a fun listening experience.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I'm guessing this is going to be out soon because the movie comes out next month. So.
Oh my God. You're right. Mm-hmm. God, time passes. So it's pretty much like a month to the day, actually.
Yeah, you're right. Because it's always Valentine's Day. They like that Valentine's Day release. So.
Yes, they do. All right. So moving on, we have a bit of an update. Obviously, last week we talked about the horrifically tragic news of Carrie Fisher's passing. And in the wake of her very untimely death, obviously comes some questions, understandably, about what's going to happen with the future Star Wars movies, because Carrie Fisher's Leia, of course, returned for The Force Awakens. She played a very significant role, and you really got the impression that her character was going to matter in episodes 8 and 9. And her death, obviously, it meant that we didn't only lose Carrie Fisher, we also actually lost Leia in a very real way. Now, there has been some speculation as to whether Lucasfilm would attempt to recreate Leia or Carrie Fisher's likeness in future Star Wars movies. Of course, that's a fair question, considering that that's what they just did, spoiler alert. And, you know, the StarWars.com or Lucasfilm on StarWars.com, they kind of made a very an announcement. They wouldn't like normally make an announcement like this, but I think because of the negative backlash that had already followed this decision that they hadn't announced that they were going to make, they felt like they had to address it. So what they said was, "We don't normally respond to fan or press speculation, but there is a rumor circulating that we would like to address. We want to assure our fans that Lucasfilm has no plans to digitally recreate Carrie Fisher's performance as Princess or General Leia Organa. Carrie Fisher was, is, and always will be a part of the Lucasfilm family. She was our princess, our general, and most importantly, our friend. We are still hurting from her loss. We cherish her memory and legacy as Princess Leia and will always strive to honor everything she gave to Star Wars." Carrie Fisher has already shot at least two scenes for the next movie, which comes out in December, which is episode 8. So we can probably assume that she will be in that movie and that she will have the role that she was intended to have. And her role in episode 9 was reportedly supposed to be very significant, and you can sort of see how it might have been, because obviously the main villain in this series is her son Ben, and with Han Solo dead and Leia obviously being Luke's sister and with potential force powers herself, you might have thought that she would have some kind of part to play in Ben's redemption or downfall, or however they plan to resolve his story. I'm finding it very difficult to sort of take a stand either way. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts.
This is also so difficult for me as well, just because of the way the story was going, it really did make it seem as though Leia was going to have a much larger role, and she was already in a position of power when we came back to revisit this universe that we so much love. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's really hard. I will be most interested to hear, if we ever do get to hear, how things might have turned out differently for her character had Carrie Fisher not passed away so suddenly.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I want to know eventually when the story... And I feel like we will know.
I think so, too. But you can't deny, like... And I'm not saying that you are, but just in general, like, we can't deny that the story, for better or worse, will now have to change. I highly doubt they were going to kill her off. Like, they were going to do the 1-2 punch and kill Han in the first movie. And Leia in the second. It just wouldn't make sense.
No. And that's where I'm sort of... Because obviously, like, Carrie Fisher, as Carrie Fisher... There's nothing, I mean, there is, a movie is a movie, and it's quote unquote always going to be just a movie, and there's no like saying, oh, I want them to keep Leia sort of artificially alive, or keep, you know, by recreating, you know, just saying, oh, well, the actress died, but we can still keep the character because we have the technology. That is an awful thing, and I would never want them to do that. But I do feel like Leia's role in this movie is, and what she was going to end up representing to so many people, and so many, you know, women particularly, but everyone, it's unfortunate that we're going to miss out on that. But what I do just hope now is that they manage to give her character a happy ending, you know? Like, I want Leia to end in a way that would have made Carrie Fisher happy.
Yeah.
You know, and that would sort of honor her memory.
I totally agree. And I think, honestly... there's a really easy way they could do that, because I think at the end of the day, Leia would gladly give her life fighting for something she believes in, which is what she was already doing. And I think Carrie would have been pleased with that.
I hope they don't do that. I hope they keep like Leia. But then again, maybe you're right. Yeah.
Because she, at the end of the day, she's a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's really hard, because there are only so many avenues they can take, especially if they're not going to superimpose her in. They could go the Fast and Furious route, where they tapped, you know, like they tapped Paul Walker's brothers to kind of finish off the final scene. Billy Lord has already, we already know that she's going to be making an appearance in the movie, although she's a little bit too young, but, you know, with the power of makeup, it's possible that we could just...
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
It's just,
I hope
really
Leia
hard.
Doesn't die. I don't know. I just something about like the actress dies, so now the character has to die. I don't like that.
But the thing about the Force is that your spirit lives on forever. So even though your body is not here, you're always around. Like, they did a really great job with using like Obi-Wan's voice in Force Awakens with Rey. So I think that there are definitely, like, ways that they could keep the spirit of Leia alive, even though her body is not necessarily there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we would love to hear listener thoughts on this, because it's a sort of a, it's going to be an, I hate to say interesting, because it's like, I just want Carrie Fisher to not be dead. That's like the end of the day. That's how I'm feeling about this. I mean, we're going to find out what happens eventually. So let's talk a little bit about it and sort of process together. So any thoughts that listeners have on this, just let us have them.
Yes, I agree. So we have something that's completely on a different vein, maybe a little bit more fun and exciting. we got the first trailer for the upcoming Chips remake starring Michael Peña and Dax Shepard. I'm excited for this because I love Michael Peña, and I will watch like basically anything he's in. And this is like kind of the perfect role for him. Peña and Shepard are going to be taking on the iconic roles first originated by Larry Wilcox and Eric Estrada. So Peña plays Ponch, or Frank Ponch Poncherello, and Dax Shepard plays his buddy John Baker. And I loved this trailer because it just seems so fun. I love that Kristen Bell is also in this, because of course her and Dax are married in real life. But I specifically loved what the director had to say about this movie, which is that he wanted it to be like kind of a mix of Bad Boys meets Lethal Weapon. And I think that that totally makes sense, especially like with the comedy element, and also with the fact that Ponch is kind of going undercover because they have a feeling that there's some crooked cops in the LAPD. So they've got to figure out like who the bad seed is. And it just looks like the ultimate buddy action comedy. And I'm down for that. Sometimes you just need a movie that you don't have to think too much about. You can just go and enjoy and like laugh a little and like experience like the big time action scene. So I'm looking forward to this. And if you are too, you can head out to theaters on March 24th and check it out.
Sure. It was also, Dax Shepard is also directing it. So it's kind of, it's very much his passion project.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Michael Peña. I think that that you are absolutely 100% right. This is such a good role for him. What I didn't love about the trailer is that it's like gay panic jokes, like all of it. Like it feels like it's just out of time. Like I just it made me really annoyed because it's like, is that really the way that we get laughs out of people? That bothered me so much. And I don't know if it's anything you noticed or anything you like sort of stuck to, but I feel like this movie could be so fun and so such a blast. I just don't want that to be the butt of all the jokes, you know?
I could see your point with that for sure. I think that it's like, it's so bad. It probably like speaks to the fact that like we get so desensitized about this that sometimes we do have to watch something more than once for it to really click. Because that wasn't the thing that really stuck out to me the first time. But with you bringing it up, I could totally see why that's an issue. And it is kind of funny because for the most part, like I've noticed these days, comedies make a better point about like showing that, like, you know, like it's kind of like the guy love thing with Scrubs, you know?
Yeah.
How like Turk and JD are so comfortable in their own sexuality that they don't care if people ship them. Like they don't care if they're like seen as a couple or like they have like some moments that don't necessarily adhere to heteronormity. So, and I would like to see it go this way. Like maybe it starts out that way, but then they realize that it doesn't really matter because there's guy love between two guys and that's okay. Like
yeah,
in
I
any
so.
Sense. I mean, you know, I don't know. I feel like that would be like the best way to resolve that issue. And I think that we are seeing that more and more. So hopefully this doesn't like digress
right,
that
it
fact.
Just feels like it's such a step back in the trailer. And I'm like, no, why?
Because I think,
but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, I think that that's totally a legitimate concern.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry, but compared to the Baywatch trailer wins. And I hate to say that, but it's true. So we'll have to give the movie the benefit of the doubt and see how it does. Because, I mean, I love everything about the idea. So, yeah, it should be fun. It's coming out soon, so we won't have to wait long. All right, so moving on to some Marvel Cinematic Universe news. It's been a while. It used to be like a permanent fixture at the top of our news, but it's, you know, it's been pretty quiet as we wait for, I guess, Guardians of the Galaxy is our next movie coming out in May. So we have a little bit of a wait. But there's some news about a particular actor that we all love and know from Game of Thrones called Peter Dinklage, who may be joining the Avengers Infinity War, because why the hell not get every actor in the known universe in that film? And he's obviously also known from the X-Men movie, so it's kind of fun that he will be stepping over to Marvel. There's no details about his role, anything he could be playing, but it's fun to hear that he may be involved. Although, again, as I said, every single actor in the world is going to be involved with this universe eventually, so maybe we shouldn't be surprised. But it's fun, right? This is going to be fun to see what role he's going to play.
Sure, why not? Like you said, everybody else is involved, so... But yeah, I think it's always really fun to see. I think like Peter Dinklage's role as Tyrion Lannister is so iconic for him as an actor that we kind of forget that he's multifaceted and can do so many things. So it'll be fun.
Although, I don't know if you've seen The Boss, but his role as a Melissa McCarthy's ex-lover slash foil in her every plan is really amazing.
Oh, I have not seen that. Maybe I'll watch that this weekend.
It's an underrated movie in my opinion.
All right. You've sold me.
I'll have to see what you think of it. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that it's just really fun to see him in other capacities, like away from Westeros. It's just really fun to see him branch out from there. So
absolutely. Yeah. And I know that one of the writers for Captain America said they'd like him to see him play a character named MODOK. So that could be a possibility. I confess, I have no idea who that is.
I was going to ask you, who's MODOK? You've intrigued me.
You know, that guy.
That guy.
With the powers.
All right. We're going to do some Marvel research.
Yes.
All right. So we have a little bit more music news. I wish we have a little bit more movie news. We have a little bit more movie news for you guys. We have an extended sneak peek at Cars 3. We got the first trailer a couple of months ago. And can I just say that this is one of the most traumatizing teasers I've ever seen in my life?
Yes.
It's so it's so funny because the original Cars came out like many, many years ago. And you can really see how far we've come in terms of animation, just in terms of like this new trailer. It looks so lifelike and so realistic. So of course the first trailer kind of showed that Lightning McQueen got into this terrible car wreck, and now we've got a little bit more of an idea as to what the movie will entail with this extended look at the first trailer, which shows Lightning McQueen trying to kind of take back his glory. Everybody thinks that he's finished and he's like, I'm not done. Only I decide when I'm done. So it sounds like it's going to be one of those movies where he's just trying to get himself back up and ready for another race to show the world that he's still got what it takes. So that movie comes out this year as well. We're going to get that in June 16th, 2017. And it should be a good time. It's so funny because Cars 3 was not the next Pixar like sequel I wanted. But I will say that they've done a good job with this trailer because I'm officially intrigued. And that's kind of a big deal for me because I really don't really care very much about the Cars universe. So, I think that like for that purpose alone, I think that they've done a good job at selling it.
Okay, so speaking of things that are making a comeback, I'm of course talking about my boy Rupert Grint, who continues to star in things. And this latest one actually has a trailer, so that's a good start. I'm so sorry, Rupert. I know you're listening. I know you're a huge fan of our podcast. I love you. Please don't stop listening. So I'm, of course, talking about the TV series Snatch, which stars Rupert Grint, among other people. It has a trailer out. It's a Crackle show. And it's basically this gangster show with the like fisticuffs and rapid fire dialogue, and it's a remake of the original movie that I have not seen, if you could not tell. And it's got Luke Pascalino and Lucien Lavascourt and Mark Warren, Stephanie Leonidas, and a bunch of other people. And of course, there is Ed Westwick from Gossip Girl is also starring in the show. You know what's hilarious too? Like just reading through the people, Rupert Grint's credit for this movie is Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets is apparently what he's known from. But I mean, this is a really fun trailer. Have you seen it? What are your thoughts on it?
I have seen it. I saw it when it premiered at this year's TCAs. The TCAs are kind of a series of press conferences that go down in the winter and then also in the summer out here in Los Angeles. And so Snatch made a huge presence when they dropped this trailer earlier this week. It just looks like so much fun. It's a kind of like this comedy heist show that kind of plays off the idea of the movie, which involved a bunch of these like heist men trying to steal a diamond. And in the show, from what I remember, when this was first announced, it takes place in London, and they're kind of uncovering the seedy underbelly of like crime rings and mob bosses and drug lords and all of that stuff. It looks like they've done a great job recreating that feeling of a heist movie, but in series form. The cast looks great, and I'm really excited to see this. It actually comes out pretty soon. We're actually going to get the pilot for a Rupert Grint show, you guys. It's coming out March 16th.
I know. They can't draw it back. At least I don't think they can.
I don't think they can either. It's set. This is like as far as we've come. We've come so far from Super Clyde, you guys.
never forget Super Clyde. It could have been so great. I'm sure it would have been my favorite. I'm here for Rupert Grint, if that wasn't clear. I'm going to 100% be checking this out when it comes out in March, and it will probably be my favorite. Actually, it's probably not. It doesn't look like it's for me, but I'm definitely going to give it my best shot.
Yeah, the only thing...
I'm just happy for him.
Me too. The only thing that worries me a little bit is, like, I feel like heist situations, especially heist comedies, do really well on the big screen. I'm curious to see how they make this last for more than a season.
Yeah.
And keep up the momentum. Like, that's the only, like, that's the elephant in the room, basically. Yes. So we'll see. But yes. Yay,
and the fact that Rupert all Grint. Of Rupert's shows gets canceled. So we'll see.
Anyway, here's somebody else I'm really excited to see back on TV. Hunter Parrish, who many of you, like me, may know from Weeds, or the fact that he auditioned to play PETA in The Hunger Games and lost out to Josh Hutcherson. I'm still not over it, you guys. It was a really sad time in my life. Anyway, Hunter Parrish is going to be back on TV very, very soon. He's actually joined the cast of Quantico for season 2. He's actually going to be playing a major role. So that's really exciting because it's been a while since he's done anything. And so if you're a fan of his, then you'll get to see him, like I said, very soon. He is actually going to be playing a political strategist that's going to be joining forces with both the CIA and the FBI during the aftermath of a crisis. So, of course, the thing about Quantico is that you never really know who's on the side of good and who's on the side of evil. So it's going to be interesting to see how his character develops over time. I have not caught up on season 2 of Quantico, but the fact that Hunter Parrish has been cast, it's slowly moving up on my list of things to catch up on very soon. I'm a huge fan of his, and I think he's a great actor. And it's going to be really fun to see how he blends into this world and how, like, he and Alex cross paths and kind of what this means for the dynamic of everybody involved. So,
Quantico is one of those many, 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 many shows that I need to watch. Like, I watched the pilot, and I really liked it, and I just have to watch the rest with the time I don't have, so it's going to be fun, but I'm excited.
Too many shows, so little time. Yes. Anyway, for all of you Quantico fans, Quantico does return on Monday, January 23rd on ABC, so we'll be getting new episodes very soon.
No, more to watch. Okay, so moving on, we're going to begin to wrap up the news with a little bit of book news, which is specifically... A Song of Ice and Fire, which, let's be real, there's hardly ever news about that, so we're going to grab it whenever it comes along. And, you know, very excitingly, although, take it with a grain of salt, as always, George R. R. Martin has expressed a sentiment that The Winds of Winter, which is the 6th out of 7 books in A Song of Ice and Fire, will be released this year, a la 2017. It was kind of a comment in response on his blog, not a blog, which is totally a blog, to a commenter who sort of, you know, was saying, oh, you know, there's hasn't been much information about the latest book, what's going on? And it's been like a year since we've heard anything new. And George R. R. Martin kind of, you know, does his best to respond. He says, it's not done yet, but I've made progress, but not as much as I hoped a year ago when I thought I would be done by now. I think it will be out this year, but hey, I thought the same thing last year. So that's 50-50. I think just about, maybe 45, 55. I am gonna reserve a little bit of doubt that the next movie is gonna be out, or the next book is gonna be out this year, just because I feel like George R. R. Martin is probably in more of a writer's block situation that he wants to admit to himself. I think that him distracting himself with various other projects and movies and HBO involvements is probably a way of him trying to do something else, because it's hard for him to sit down and begin to finish the series, even though it's only the second to last book. I mean, that's really the impression that I get, is that he's really struggling to get this book done. And considering how long the fifth book is, I can understand why, and I can understand why it must, because the further you get into a series, the harder it's going to get. And I hope he gets it out this year, because I think then the end is so much more in sight. And I think the longer he drags it out, the harder it's going to be for him to actually get it done. And I am like beginning to worry that it's never going to get done, because he is going to lose the thread, because it's such an incredible, epic, huge, huge story that it must be so difficult for him to hold it together the way that he has had to. So yeah, tentative maybe, but I'm feeling a little bit of doubt. Do you have any thoughts?
I honestly have only read the first book, but I feel for the fan base that has been waiting for this next installment for years and years and years and years. And it's just too bad that it's just really, it's so sad that you won't get it until probably most likely until the series wraps up. But I feel like it was smart for him to give a glimmer of hope, but not like 100% full hope, because mm-hmm. I think that would be even more disappointing. Just framing it this way, which is neither here nor there, at least it's nice to know he's writing about it, like he's writing, also like doesn't make people excited for something that might not happen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I feel like that's it's nice that he's acknowledging, yeah, the book still exists. I haven't shredded the manuscript and thrown it out the window, which is nice. But just imagine if this had been like Half-Blood Prince or something like that. Like if J.K. Rowling had just got that far into it and was like, I can't do it anymore. Like now I'm doing Fantastic Beasts. The book will have to wait. Like that would be a nightmare.
And that is like, it's kind of a little discomforting because you're right. Like in a way he kind of needs to like put a little bit more effort in making sure that the showrunners for Game of Thrones have all the information they need to hit those points as they mm-hmm. come up on the finale of the whole series.
Yeah. So. But the show will be different. Like, the show will be different. I think it's going to be different.
Yeah.
And it's going to end before he finishes no matter what, because it's only 6 out of 7. So that train has left the station mm-hmm. or whatever you say.
I feel like Benioff and Weiss have said, though, that they have discussed like some of the points that mm-hmm. have not been written in his novel that they'd like to incorporate. Yeah. So it'll be, I mean, if anything, it'll be an interesting reading experience for those of you that do pick it up, because you'll be able to see what they did include, what they did know before, and how it changes.
Absolutely.
And also nice because you don't get spoiled if you want to continue watching. So,
yeah, exactly. It's going to be fun. All right, so our final news story is game-related, because, of course, the thing that we have all, at least I have all been waiting for, the Nintendo Switch, which is the vehicle that will bring me Zelda Breath of the Wild, has finally got a release date and a price and a notification of the games that will follow its release. So we can actually expect, we knew Nintendo Switch was going to come out in sort of the first half of 2017. And now we've actually, the news has broken that it's going to come out on March 3rd, which is very soon. Caveat for me and anyone else listening who is anywhere near me is that it'll be released on March 3rd in Japan, the United States, Canada, major European countries, Hong Kong, and other territories. Now, I don't know if you would consider Denmark a major European country because it's tiny. So I am like a little bit worried that I have to wait. But Danish stores have already begun putting it on pre-order. And I don't actually know if that's related to any official information or if they're just doing that to get some money. But I'm really hoping, because I really, really, really want it. The price of the Switch is $300 or $299.99, which in my opinion, like, obviously it's not cheap, but it's cheaper than a PlayStation.
I was going to say, that seems incredibly reasonable given the price of, like, the PlayStation 3.
Exactly. I feel like it could have been a lot worse, and I'm actually sort of very relieved because this is, I mean, I never have any money, but this is kind of, like, within, like, I could maybe wish for some of it for my birthday and, you know, could kind of make it work, and so it would be okay. And the game that's going to be released with it, as had been widely speculated, is Zelda Breath of the Wild, which will cost like $50. So that's like an extra.
So that does it. You need expense. This in your life. If only
I
for
need
Zelda.
This in my life. Only, I mean, it's only for Zelda 100%. Like, I'm sorry. I don't care about Mario Kart. I'm breaking Andrew's heart with that, but I just don't. but yeah, so March 3rd is when we can expect this. And like, the Zelda game is going to be like semi-open world, and it's going to suck me in, and you're never going to hear from me again. So it was nice knowing everyone.
You're going to be living in your truest form.
Exactly,
in the woods.
Exactly. Yes, in the woods. That's where I belong, in Zelda land. It's going to be great. There's going to be some fun Super Mario stuff. Super Mario Odyssey is coming as well. It's a 3D Mario game in a sandbox world. And there's just a bunch of cool, fun stuff coming. Splatoon 2 is coming if you're into that. So Zelda is for sure my main. It's kind of like when the Wii, like my brother has a Wii and I basically use it to play Zelda, and that's it. But that's enough because I love Zelda, so that's fine. So yeah, very, very excited. It's sooner than I expected, which is nice. And that brings us to the end of the news. So we're going to go into TV show of the week. And I have a bunch, but I'm going to let you go first with the one you have.
All right. Well, believe it or not, you guys, I've had time to watch things other than The OA and The 100. And one of the shows, my brother and I, we have an Apple TV in the family room. And we realized that we were really upset because we have Amazon Prime, but we can't watch any of these shows because... very smartly so, Apple TV does not let you download like applications for Amazon because you would be competing directly with, you know, their systems and stuff. But we realized that we can actually like stream, you can stream directly from your phone to the big screen. So we started watching Mozart in the Jungle together. I've been wanting to watch this show for so long. I'm a huge fan of Gael Garcia Bernal. Side note, that was another one of my highlights of the night for the Golden Globes is that Gael Garcia Bernal and Diego Luna went to the show together, and it's like they're my two favorite besties in the entire world. So if you just want to be happy, just go look at pictures of them together on the red carpet because they've come so far since Y Tu Mamá También. And anyway, Gael Garcia Bernal and also Mozart in the Jungle, they've both received the just recognition they deserve for this show. And now that I've experienced it, I can totally understand why people are so enamored with it. It actually tells the story. It starts off from this girl Haley's point of view, and she's a struggling musician in New York City. She's an oboist. She's been playing since she was 5 years old, and her dream is to play with the New York Symphony. And one day she meets this cellist played by Saffron Burrows. Her name is Cynthia, and Cynthia tells her that they have open auditions for the woodwind section. And she thinks that she's too late, but she decides she's going to play on the stage of the New York Symphony anyway. And Rodrigo, who is Bernal's character, he happens to hear her and loves her. She kind of botches her first try at like playing with the orchestra as a an extra oboist, but he takes her on as an assistant and tells her that she'll learn a lot just by being involved in that atmosphere. And the show is just, I can't say more amazing, like I can't give it more praise. It's so great. The episodes are really short too. They're about 30 minutes each in length. So even if you just watch the pilot to see if it's for you, it's not like you have to commit to a 45-minute show, but it's so good. I always like go away with like a huge smile on my face and I just want to watch more. And aside from Bernal, who is amazing, Bernadette Peters is also in this and she's like an icon. Malcolm McDowell is in this and he's amazing. And also Lola Kirk, who plays Haley, is just so charming and so wonderful. She's actually Jemima Kirk's sister. So if you are a fan of Girls and you want to see what, you know, she can do, they're related. And you can kind of fall in love with another Kirk in the process. Both great at what they do. So yeah, definitely check it out if you have Amazon Prime, because I whizzed through the first season and we're almost done with season two. So it's going to be really sad when we're all caught up and we have to wait for new episodes.
Oh, cool. That's so great. That sounds really interesting. I had no idea, honestly, what the show was about. So very nice little... Now I know. It sounds really good. So I have a bunch of shows, as I said, that I have tried to keep up with this week. And to basically, I've been trying to watch it for hype. So... well, that's not true. I also just wanted to watch it for myself, but I also wanted something to talk about for hype. I have not, however, watched A Series of Unfortunate Events, which I know is a big thing that debuted on Netflix this week. I haven't gotten around to it. I don't know if you have, but one of us will probably talk about it next
week. You know, honestly, I'm going to, for next week, I'm going to tackle Young Pope, which has gotten a lot of hype over on HBO. Oh my God, yeah. I'm actually, you know what? I'm not even going to lie to you guys. I'm incredibly excited to check this out. They've lured me in with these stupid teaser trailers they play before everything. Yeah. So I'll tell you guys what I think about that next week. And I'm also going to check out Series of Unfortunate Events. Unfortunately, it just wasn't, I wasn't in the mood to watch it when it came out. I was like so into The 100 that I was like, sorry, NPH and everybody else involved. I gotta finish season two first. But for next week, I'll make it a point to at least watch the first episode. I hear it's really good though. Everybody like is really happy with it.
Got really good reviews also on Hypeable. But so the shows that I have been watching, first of all, I just want to give a quick shout out to The Good Place, which continues to be one of my like favorite comedies. I don't really know why. I just
because it's
like
so forking
like
good.
I have no reason. Yeah, like it's just really like sweet. And I mean, obviously, it's by the same guy who did Parks and Rec, and I don't personally think it's nearly as good as Parks and Rec. But then again, Parks and Rec season one was kind of terrible, so But it's, I mean, it's just sweet and funny and lighthearted. And I never feel like I'm not in the place to watch it. You know what I mean? Like, it's always really good. And it even had Adam Scott, speaking of Parks and Rec, on for one of the past episodes. And he was just hilarious and so good. And everything's just happening really fast, funnily enough, for like a sitcom, or for a comedy show. It's going really good. The Good Place is just a good time with Kristen Bell and the gang. And my favorite character on TV ever, Tahani.
Oh, yeah. She's so good. Yes. I love her too.
I mean, Chidi too is also my favorite. But those two are like competing for the favorite spot. Mm-hmm. Tahani just edges him out a little bit, but they're both great. And then Crazy Head, which is the show that we have been talking about for a while. When it first got announced, we were really raving about it because it is the very Buffy-like show about two girls, a British show, E4 show that's also on Netflix, about these two girls that are fighting zombies and kicking ass and being awesome, or demons, I guess is technically what they're fighting. And I've watched 3 episodes. There are 6 in total, so I will get around to the last 3 probably this week. And it's very good. It is, I mean, if you listening, because I know you do, Pam, but if you're listening like Misfits, then this show is for you, because it is very much in the tradition of Misfits. It's very inappropriate at times. It's very, like, not as bad as Misfits, but there's definitely some moments when you're like, oh no, is this really happening? And there have been a bit of cringe stuff. Like, first of all, they make a lot of gay jokes. Again, this is a recurring theme on this episode. And there's some stuff that happens really early on when you're like, oh no, I wish that hadn't happened. But overall, it's really good. Raquel, who is one of the lead girls, she's fantastic. She's so funny. She's so great. It's just, it's so, like, you know, girl power. Obviously, a lot of stuff is girl power these days, but this is just really sort of subversive and interesting and different. And obviously, I mean, for me and Pam, another big draw is that the executive producers of Merlin, Julian Murphy and Johnny Capps, they're working on it too. So Merlin forever.
In general, you know, I do tend to like the way that, like, the different ways that E4 portrays female characters. Like, we talk a lot on this show too, and maybe this might be something I might drag you all into doing specials with me for. We talk a lot about My Mad Fat Diary on here and how it's like one of my favorite shows of all time. That's also an E4 show. Of course, we talked about Misfits. Like, they had some great female characters on there as well. So I'm not surprised to hear that this is like awesome girl power coming at us from a completely different trajectory. So that's great. Yeah. It's on my list. I'm excited to watch it, especially now that since it's got your stamp of approval.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to let you guys know when I've seen all 6 episodes next week, but definitely so far it's really hooking me in. And then the final one that I just wanted to talk about that I almost forgot is that I also started, because I'm on a roll this week, I started watching Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. At last.
How do you like
it? Speaking of crazy, I love it. This is an amazing show. I'm so in love with it. I've seen like 3 episodes of that too. And it's just, I mean, I can, you know how like you start watching a show and you get a few episodes in and you just know that you could keep watching this forever. And like, you just want to live in the world and you just want to hear these people all the time, like talk and sing and hang out together and be awkward and hilarious. And I just think it's so good. Do you watch it?
I do, but I have to watch it in small doses because, like I said, I have this problem where I feel too much secondhand embarrassment for other people. And
it's so embarrassing.
I'm really bad, you guys. Like, even like the smallest thing, like, on, I get TV show anxiety. I need to like pause and walk away because it's like, it's too much. It's too easy to imagine myself in that situation. And
yes,
and it's just a recipe for a disaster. It's a problem. It's a miracle I can get through as much TV as I do, honestly. But yeah, I think that, like, I love this show so much, but I do need to, I can't marathon it. I need to take a break because it's too much for me to handle.
I mean, it for
in
sure
the best
is,
way, I should say. Like, I love it, but
it definitely is, but there's something about it though that because I definitely get that as well. I can't, like, I had to look away. Like, I just got to the scene in the when they're dancing in the club, and she like goes crazy like on the girlfriend, and I'm like, I can't watch this. I was like, but I still really like it, and I think it happens every once in a while that you just get, you find a show and you know there's a lot of it. I kind of had the same feeling about Jane the Virgin too, that you want to just be there with the people. Like, I remember a stupid like comparison, but when I started watching One Tree Hill, like I had this wonderful, because I started watching, they had like 5 or 6 seasons that had already come out by the time I started. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I really like just having this show on. Like, sometimes with shows, even when they're really good, it's kind of a little bit of a chore to watch them. Like, particularly when they're really good. Sometimes, like, you're just like, oh, I'm not in the right mindset, or like, oh, I don't know if I can take, like, pace, like, not pace because of secondhand embarrassment, but just like, oh, you know, I don't really know, and there's like so many episodes and I have to think so much, oh, it's too much, like kind of how I feel about Westworld. I'm like, oh no, I can't handle like having to watch so much of it. But with something like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, I'm just like, yes, just bring it on, just the more episodes the better, because this is so enjoyable for me. And oddly enough, like, I'm finding the dialogue and the way that the characters are sort of playing off each other, it's very Whedon-esque, if that makes sense. Like, I'm getting really strong vibes, like the way they speak. Very Buffy to me, very early season of Buffy.
I could definitely see that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really, like, it's just something about the way they're playing off each other and the sort of easy companionship they have with each other. And that guy who works at the bar, I don't know his name yet, Greg or something. He's very Xander-y in his way of interacting with the main character.
You root for him a lot, like you root for Xander. Yeah. Like, you want him to get the girl because he's like the nice guy kind. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure. Yeah. Even nicer guy than Xander, I would say. Although, hashtag love Xander forever.
Yes.
Team Xander.
Pro Xander. We are pro Xander here.
Oh, always. But yeah, no, but I'm really, really enjoying Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I'm happy that I'm like excited to keep watching it. Although for now, I mean, obviously my priority is The 100 season 2 as well, like you guys. And I'm always more excited to watch that because it's my favorite. Whatever. I like a lot of shows. All right. So I think that's everything. That's all we've been watching. That was a lot. I hope we caught some of the ones that you are hyping about. Although I know there are a few in the comments that you also want to bring to our attention. Just adding to our list, guys. Whatever.
Yeah. I feel like they consider, like our listeners consider that payback, because they always bring up shows that they want to watch, yeah, they're like, yeah, but they have no time. So it's a constant cycle of like FOMO, basically.
But it's great. It's so great. And we are going to get to some of that listener feedback right now, and we have a bunch of tweets for you guys. The first one is actually one that, I mean, this is not something that we have on the show, but I think for this show, we might have to make an exception. We might have to declare a listener of the week. And there's a very specific reason for this. And I'm sure you guys listening will all agree that this is very, very, very spectacular. Rebecca Caruthers sent us a tweet saying, and this is, I think this is today, Sunday, the 15th of January, 2017. Saying, I made it. I'm going to see Cursed Child today, and I've managed to avoid being spoiled. How did she do that? This is amazing. I did not think this was possible. I'm so like, wow.
Especially like considering our show, I'm pretty sure we stopped.
Because she's been listening to our show.
Rebecca.
We talk about it all the time.
I'm so proud of you. Please report back and let us know what you thought. Yes. We'd love to hear it. And a round of applause for you, because you've managed to do what I didn't even think I could do. And I was only waiting like 50 days.
But like, especially because I was going to say, like, listening to our show, we've been kind of like, oh, well, people probably know by now. We can just talk about it freely. We haven't been that good about keeping spoilers a secret. So well done. Unless you just haven't been listening to us. And
maybe she took like a 6-month break.
Maybe she did. Anyway, I'm still very, very, very impressed. And I'm very excited to hear what you thought about it. I hope you weren't disappointed by the plot, because, you know, the play is amazing. So I hope you loved it. And now for our other listeners who are equally amazing, whether or not they decided to stay or they managed to stay spoiler-free and Cursed Child. Do you want to get the first one?
Sure. This one's from Ning, who says, listen to Hype and now watching Dirk Gently on episode 1, and I am so confused but also intrigued. Thanks, Marima.
That's great. Another one for the list. Matthew Potter says, you gals are on a roll. I noticed the last 3 episodes posts within the last 15 minutes of the previous one. Hashtag constant hype. Also may have done a little dance in my car each time, realizing there was more. This is awesome. That's although very awesome. Releasing them with 15 minutes intervals, I don't think that was a plan.
Thanks, Andrew.
Hashtag thanks, Andrew.
It's so funny because we do, like, especially with the specials, sometimes we record them in advance and try and stagger them out because we don't want to overwhelm you guys, but we're happy if it makes you happy either way. Yeah. So that's great.
Yeah.
Laura says, I think I finally understand what you guys mean by secondhand embarrassment on shows. I keep feeling so embarrassed for the characters on The Office, especially Andy. I feel myself blushing and looking away, but overall, very good show. Yo, welcome to the club, Laura. Like,
that's so funny.
It's a problem.
I mean, Andy, that's quite far into the show too. Like, I mean, I think the early seasons especially, because they kind of softened Michael as the show went on, but the first couple of seasons, the stuff he would do, I still remember, what was it, what was the character's name? Oscar. Where?
Oh yeah, Oscar.
I don't remember. I don't remember the context of the scene. I just remember that I could not watch it, and Michael just kept going, and I had to stop. Like, I blocked it out of my memory because it was so terrible. But yeah, if you've made it all the way to Andy, then you've done a really good job, Laura.
She also has a little bit more to add. Laura also said, see, the only bad thing about your rec part of the podcast is I literally want to watch 36 shows. Where to begin?
Yes, and Tucker Conley is about to add another one. Because he asks, has anyone seen Sweet Vicious yet? It's a decent show with a pretty strong message about rape culture. And this is another, again, speaking of shows that we have to watch, this is another one that is on my list. I know that on Hypeable, it's been getting a lot of buzz. I'm pretty sure a couple of our writers are really, really into it. And yeah, it's been obviously getting a lot of hype, especially for its very, very strong tackling of rape culture and sort of going head on with that very, very important issue. I'm glad to hear that you think it's decent, although I would like to get some more clarification. Like, is it not as good as you hoped, or does decent mean good? What does it mean? I would like you to report back, Tucker, so I know what to expect. I just feel like we sort of agree on TV shows most of the time.
Yeah, he's your fellow the 100 buddy.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Rebecca says, she actually let us in on this awesome tweet we got earlier this week from the Prison Break TV show. We have a date, cannot wait. Hashtag breakout, hashtag prison break, hashtag save Michael again. Rebecca, you know how to speak to my soul. I'm so excited for Prison Break. It's coming back in April. I'm clearing out my entire schedule. I'm so excited for this. Might have to do another rewatch. I just rewatched the whole series before Comic-Con because I think, I don't know if Selena remembers this, but basically when we plan out what's going to happen at Comic-Con amongst the Hypeable staff, everybody kind of starts like putting in their requests for shows that they want to cover, perhaps as like we get press releases rolling in. And I basically went up to Sonia and Andrew, who help out with a lot of that planning, and said, I will do anything else you ask as long as you get me in that Prison Break press room. Please and thank you. So I'm so excited. And if you guys want to read up what I had to say about that, because they did let me go to the panel and the press room, we have some write-ups for that over on Hypeable. Might be more pertinent now that we have a little bit more information about what's coming up next for Michael and Lincoln and everybody else.
How many seasons?
Four. I think four.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, please don't tempt me. I will make you guys watch this with me. It's one of my, you know, honestly, it's so funny because I hadn't rewatched the show in so long. But when I found out that they were going to Comic-Con, I was like, I got to do a massive rewatch. And I came to the realization that Michael Scofield is probably one of my favorite television characters of all time. Like, he's top 10 for sure. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, I'm intrigued. Well. We do like our revivals here on Hype. So, but Shelly actually has another comment on Dirk Gently. She says, oh no, Merima, it's not on the US Netflix. I watched episode one on BBCA over the holidays, but no longer have cable. And apparently Merima is quite amazed that there's something on Australian Netflix that is not on the US Netflix. Yeah, it's very weird what happens to be on different area Netflixes. But that's a real shame, Shelley. I hope you find a way to watch it.
Yeah. Well, but although Netflix does it, we usually get it late, but they do a pretty good job of aggregating BBC America content on Netflix. So maybe we'll get it over the summer. It kind of sucks that you have to wait, but yeah. Hopefully you do find
at least
a way
there's
to watch
like 36
it.
Other shows for you to watch.
That's movies. Right. The Lady Ash says, raise your hand if you're still on the fence to rewatch / continue because you don't know how many tears you have left. # the 100. I feel that.
I wonder how far she got.
I don't know. As Selena knows, I got to specifically episode, I think, 8. And I didn't even know what to do with myself of season 2. Mm-hmm. So those of you that have watched will probably know what I'm getting at. But those of you that haven't, you're in for a big one.
I mean, look, I've said this. I said this on Twitter too. The key to the 100 is that you keep watching so long that your soul becomes so hard that nothing can hurt you.
We all become a certain character that feels nothing, allegedly.
Yes. Allegedly. Allegedly. Oh my gosh. Okay. So, I hope you keep watching The Lady Ash, but I understand it's a very, intentionally a very hard-edged show. And I think they have their reasons for doing that. I think they're trying to convey certain messages about the nature of humanity and stuff, but it's not necessarily for everyone. But I do hope you keep watching because season 2 is just fantastic. I love it a lot. And our final tweet was a Mermaid Ray who asks, when is your Patreon coming? That's a good question. Like George R. R. Martin, we would like to answer you with a non-answer, which is that we hope soon. We're still sorting out the kinks, and the reason we're taking a little bit longer is, first of all, we have just had a lot, like we're having a lot of work to do at the beginning of the year. We're trying to get all these specials out to you, and we just want it to be proper when we actually launch it. Like, we want to be ready to offer you guys some cool content. And for those of you who are sort of checking in and out of the podcast or who are not totally up to date, like, the Patreon is not going to affect the regular show at all. So you don't need to worry about the Patreon if you're not interested in the Patreon. But if you are interested, it is going to be a place for you to get a lot more exclusive content and a lot more, hopefully fun, sort of inside the industry kind of things, and some more of us sort of debating various pop culture topics. So if you do enjoy, and more chance for listeners as well to influence the show and be a part of what we do. So we are very, very excited to share all that with you, but we want to make sure that when we do it, it's good stuff, you know, that we're going to share with you.
Yeah. And just like
that fair to say?
Yeah. And like, also like, I mean, for those of you that are familiar with Patreon, you'll know that it's based on like a tiers. So depending on how much you donate, you get maybe a little bit more. So we just want to make sure that those tiers are properly priced and that you guys are getting the biggest bang for your buck possible, and that they include things that you would be interested in having, because like Selena said, we never do anything half-assed on this show, basically, is what it comes down to. So we want to make sure it's the best that it can be, and we're pouring over all of the amazing feedback you guys gave us on our survey, which is, I think, still live. You can access it if you go to our Twitter at HypeableHype. It's pinned up at the top of the page, and taking your considerations into account as we build that. And we're hoping that we're able to launch it within the next few months, but we will see. So, but we appreciate that you're so interested. I know a couple of you guys have been tweeting and asking us the same thing. So it makes us feel really good that you guys are interested in supporting what we do on here, because we love doing
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're very excited. Whatever happens with this, it's just going to be fun to sort of take the podcast to the next level and to get an excuse to do more fun things, basically, which is going to be great.
Basically, we don't care if we get like $2 or, you know, yeah, more. We're happy to.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, we just want you guys to get more out of the show and for us to be able to do more fun stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, so that brings us to the end of episode 130. Thank you so much to everyone who wrote in. If you want to contribute to next week's show, or if you want to send in your feedback on The 100 Season 2 or Gilmore Girls Fall, You can do that by tweeting at HyperboleHype. You can find us on Hyperbole, which is hypable.com. You can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can send us an email, which is hype@hyperbole.com. So we hope to hear from you if you are sending in the 100 or Gilmore Girls. You don't need to worry about Gilmore Girls spoilers anymore because I know it all. Oh my God, the relief. It's here. I'm free. It's amazing. But if you do send in the 100 thoughts, just make sure that you mark any spoilers and be aware that Merrim and Pam have not watched Beyond Season 2. So try to keep your feedback spoiler free because we would appreciate that the things that have not been spoiled for them don't get spoiled for them.
Just put it in the subject. So like if you're commenting on one season, you could be like the 100 Season 2, the 100 Season 3. Or if you want to comment on the season as a whole, you can just say like general the 100 thoughts and then we'll know not to read it until Selena goes in and filters out what we can and can't see so far.
Exactly. We had a fun moment that was cut out of the 100 Season 1 special when...
Oh, yeah, that was my bad.
Pam accidentally spoiled a huge thing.
Yeah, it's like, because the only downside with this is, of course, we're all in the entertainment industry. And so sometimes you know things because I don't think Selena ever thought we were actually going to listen to her and watch. So Selena and I spent a lot of time together over the summer at Comic-Con, and I definitely got... spoiled on something because of something else that was happening. She knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's just because let's be real. We met the person in question.
And just based on what's coming up for this person professionally it's just like there was no. Anyway, long story short, it's just one of those things. Kind of like everybody knows there's a Clexa. If you're like me, you kind of know that this is a thing that happens at some point.
Yeah. But. Yes. Yeah. But anyway, you can look forward to the 100 special hopefully coming later this week and the Gilmore Girls one coming the following week. Keep up with us on Twitter to find out more about that. Thank you for listening. And we will see you guys on social media and stuff. And we hope you come back next week for 131. My name is Selena.
And my name is Pamela.
And that's the end.
Bye, guys.